Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we divert from our series on the book of Hebrews to bring you a special Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. And to get us started, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It is Good Friday, and this is a just incredible day in the life of the church and the life of individual believers. It's the day when Jesus Christ took away our sins once and for all, when the will of God for mankind was executed by Jesus himself. He came to take away our sins, to offer his body as that once and final sacrifice that would finish everything that needed to be done in regard to sin. And he did it. He accomplished it. Those words that he said on the cross, "It is finished," are some of the most meaningful, most powerful words in the human language, because they're words that really resonate deep within the heart and bring about the cleansing that we all need and so desperately desire. And once that happens, we're clean forever. And we have the confidence to march boldly into the throne of grace. That's what we've been studying through, and you know, that we talk about time and time again here on Basic Gospel, how we have this confidence to go into the throne of grace. Why? Because our hearts have been cleansed by the finished work of Jesus Christ. But that's just Friday. The story doesn't end on Friday, and for that we're all grateful. Yeah. Because there's new life up ahead. And today we want to celebrate the story and to rehearse the story and to talk through the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And we're going to do so today through the book of Luke. We're going to start in Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 44. This is the death of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about the burial of Jesus, and then we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. That is the good news story, as Paul laid it out so wonderfully for us in 1 Corinthians 15. This is the good news by which you were saved, on which you have taken your stand, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. So we're going to look at some of the detail of that story right now. So starting in verse 44, it reads this: "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." So on our clock, that's going to be 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. "Now while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." So there was Jesus on a cross outside of the city. There was the temple inside of the city. And that curtain that stood between the holy place and then the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom. So something was happening outside the city and something was happening inside the city. "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Those were his last words. And after saying that, he breathed his last, he committed his spirit into the hands of his Father. And at that moment, the work was accomplished. God had condemned sin in sinful man once and for all. There was nothing left to be done.
Right.
Now, we need to recognize that. We need to come to grips with that. We need to rest in that. We need to thank God that he has dealt with our sins in their entirety, in total. There's nothing left to be done. Christ's blood shed on the cross was sufficient. It is unrepeatable. It doesn't need to be repeated. Why? Because it worked.
Yeah.
Christ's sacrifice worked. "Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. and all of his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So Christ died. He breathed his last. The crowds watching this, I think they sensed some loss. They sensed some guilt because just the day before, they're yelling, crucify, crucify, crucify.
And many of them just a few days before that are yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Yes,
they couldn't decide what they
wanted. It was a fickle crowd.
Yeah.
It really was. It was a crowd moved by whatever wind was blowing at that particular moment. On that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the donkey, the wind was saying hallelujah, and they jumped on board with that. When he was standing before Pilate, the religious leaders had moved the crowd to yell out crucify, crucify, and they just jumped on board. So it was a very fickle crowd, but when they saw that this Jesus, this innocent man, had died, they felt this sense of loss and grief. There could have been some that were there beating their breast in joy that they had accomplished. They had gotten rid of this this imposter, so to speak. But they returned home, for the most part, in sorrow and sadness over what had taken place. And then those who were closest to Jesus had watched this from a distance, his disciples and the women, and they stood at a distance watching these things. That was the darkest hour in human history. It was absolutely the darkest hour when Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But that dark hour had an end.
Yes.
And it was going to break forth into a glorious light, and we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Well, friends, you're listening to a special Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel, and we're diverting, of course, from our study through the book of Hebrews, but we'll return to that study at this time next Friday. But today, it is Good Friday, and as Bob Christopher responded saying, Sunday's a-coming.
Sunday is coming, and boy, that is the good news of the gospel. And it's interesting, you know, when you think of a good news story, you want the beginning of it to be positive, to be uplifting. That's what you're looking for. But this good news story starts on a down note. It starts in darkness. It starts with death. And the reason it starts with death is because without death, there can be no resurrection. So it has to start there. That's the end of our human existence as we know it apart from Christ. It's death. It's eternal separation from God. So Jesus Christ had to taste that death for us. He had to come in and be the final chapter that tied everything together so that there could be new life for all of us. And that's what Sunday is all about. But there's another part of this story. It's the burial of Jesus Christ. And Richard, can you just work us through this next little section on how this burial took place?
So it starts in verse 50 of Luke 23. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council would be the Sanhedrin, who is the leader of all the Jewish people, a good and righteous man. He had not consented to their plan and action. He was a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. There's a courageous man.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the leadership had been in Pilate's hall, making fools of themselves and demanding Jesus' death. And so this lone guy comes walking in and says, I'd like the body, please. And Pilate gave it to him. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed, and saw the tomb, and how his body was laid. They returned home, and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. So we've got this guy who's part of the ruling council of all of Judaism. His name is Joseph. He's a good and righteous man. So within the old covenant, good and righteous means that he was walking by grace through faith based on the information he had. He had the Mosaic Covenant. He looked because of that covenant for a coming Messiah. He was looking for this sort of thing, and he was righteous. And so he bravely goes and asks for the body, takes it down, wraps it in a linen cloth, and lays him in a tomb cut in a rock. I mean, this is a guy who is fearless.
Yes.
I've said that already. He was fearless. He went against the leadership. He approached the Romans, and he just took charge. I mean, this is the kind of guy that God shows up with yes. in these kind of situations without fail.
Yeah. And may his tribe increase.
Absolutely.
We need courageous men and women today who will go, will stand up against the current of our culture,
mm-hmm.
But also will stand up against the current wind of doctrine and all
yes.
of that sort of stuff as far as religion is concerned.
Yeah.
We need some courageous people who will stand up for the grace of God that's been revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. So Joseph is a beautiful picture of that, a model of that.
Yes.
I think most people, and as it was back in that day, most of the religious leaders just went with the real leaders of the party, both the
yeah.
Pharisees and the Sadducees. They said, we need to get rid of this man, and we're going to
okay.
plot to do so. And
yeah.
everybody went along with that, except for Joseph. And there probably were others that were courageous as well. So that is fantastic. But there's something about this burial. It's included in the story that
yes.
Christ died for our sins. He was buried. What is burial symbolic of? Why is this in the story, Richard? Why is the burial so important?
Well, you have to have a burial in order to prove that death had occurred. If I've got this right, according to Jewish law, if you were in a tomb for a day or two, you weren't considered dead. And there was obvious reasons for that. People had, we thought, died, and they check a day or two later, and it turns out they're not dead. And so they figured that wrapped up this way, in the tomb this way, 3 days proved that you were dead. Now, you notice that back earlier when Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, they waited 4 days for him. I think Jesus did that, one, to prove that he was dead, but two, so that no one would get confused between Jesus and Lazarus. Lazarus was just a regular guy. Jesus is the Son of God. But they still had to bury him. They still had to prove that he was dead. And all of this says that that's exactly what they were prepared to do. It was too late in the day. Sabbath was coming. They were going to come back and finish the burial service 3 days
later.
On
Sunday, yes.
On Sunday.
Yes. And it's interesting when we think about the cross. It was a completion of the old.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't come to abolish the old. He came to fulfill that law. Well, his death was the ultimate fulfillment of the Mosaic Covenant. The
yes.
wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus stepped into our place. He filled our shoes, and he tasted our death for us. So that put an end. Now, this death also meant the ushering in of a new covenant.
Yes.
So if the old order has been set aside, it's been set aside so that the new order could fill its place, could rise up and be the new way of life, and that's the new covenant. So proof of death is important.
Absolutely.
Whenever a will is made, the one who made it has to die before it will go into effect. So you have to prove that the person is dead before that will can take effect. Well, burial is that proof. So
yeah.
this is the final part of that old life. It's us dying in Christ, being buried in Christ, so that we can be raised to walk in the newness mm-hmm. of life. What's that newness of life? Well, it's spelled out for us in this new covenant, the new covenant where God etches his laws into our hearts and minds. He puts his Holy Spirit inside of us. He gives us new life. He includes us as a part of the people of God. We're secure in that relationship. We know God personally. There's this intimate knowledge of God. We know that He's love. And boy, is that a life-changing reality when you really come to grips with the fact that the very nature and character of God is that He is love. It changes the whole dynamic of your relationship. And then you have that wonderful promise that your sins have been forgiven, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sins. And the fact that He chooses to remember them no more, that's what Jesus ushered in. And that's where we experience this new life that we have in Christ to the full. So we have the death. Mm-hmm. Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was the final payment for sin. We have the burial, where Christ was putting an end to the old way of life, to the old order of things, so that a new way could rise up. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Friends, if you've joined us in progress, this is the Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have questions about anything you hear on this program or any of our daily programs for that matter, or if there's something you'd like to discuss with us during this coming week at Basic Gospel, well, just let us know. You can give us a call at 844-322-2742 or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net or the 24-hour order line, or 24-hour line, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions about anything you hear here at Basic Gospel. But for now, it's Good Friday, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. So we've talked about the death of Jesus, we've talked about the burial of Jesus, and now we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus, the crowning piece of this good news story. This is really why it is good news. Now, we ended up with the burial with the women who had watched Christ be crucified, and they had watched that from a distance. They had watched Joseph of Arimathea get the body and lay it into a tomb. And so they went away, and they were preparing the spices and the ointments and all of those things to come and complete the burial ceremony. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're on the first day of the week, and at early dawn, and this is Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. So on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they, the women, went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. These were the ones that they had prepared before the Sabbath occurred. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, Luke doesn't give us the detail about the stone, but we can see that in Matthew's account. And they had put the stone in front of the open entry into the tomb, and they had also put Roman guards to make sure nothing happened to that body. Why? Because Jesus had been saying that I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and on the third day I'm going to raise back to life. Yeah. So these Jewish leaders said, this Jesus has been saying that, so let's just guard against it.
Yeah, let's make sure it can't happen.
Make sure that it can't happen. So there was a stone and a Roman guard in place of it. Now, when the women got there, the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, put yourself in their shoes. What would you be thinking at this very moment in time? Would this be a tragic situation for you? Would this be a kick in the gut? Who would come and steal the body? What would you be thinking? Would you be thinking about the words of Jesus that He had said time and time again, on the third day, I will be raised? You would hope so, but probably not.
Probably not.
And we're going to find out that's not exactly what these women were thinking, nor what the disciples were thinking. Now, it says, while they were perplexed about this, they were confused. They didn't know what to really think about what they had just seen. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, seeing two men in dazzling apparel would frighten you.
Yes, it would.
At that particular scene. They were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. I love that. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified and on the third day rise? So these two men in dazzling apparel, angels sent from God, they're just reminding these women of the words that they have already heard from Jesus himself. Don't you recall, don't you remember what he said to you? Because what he said to you is exactly what has happened right here. Jesus is risen just as he said. And they remembered his words. The women remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So the apostles weren't thinking that the words of Jesus had come true. They didn't know what had happened, but they certainly didn't believe at this moment in time that Jesus had been raised from the dead, just as he said. So the women were perplexed. The men, on hearing the story, looked at it as nothing more than an idle tale. But Peter, I love how Luke writes that, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb. I guarantee you, Peter was thinking, is there the remote possibility that this is right, that these words of Jesus have come true, that he has been raised from the dead? Well, he ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Well, that's the story. That is the good news story. Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. God himself in the form of Jesus Christ putting on our flesh and blood, offering that flesh and blood as the sacrifice to take away our sins once and for all, then being buried to put an end to our old way of life, so that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead physically, we could be raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. Now, it's interesting, as the writers of the New Testament tell this story, they always pin faith, our faith, to this final act, the resurrection. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my question to you today, do you really believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Because if you believe that, then everything changes for you. Mm-hmm. Because you then receive life, and you cross over from death to life and can walk in the newness of life, which is a life of faith in this risen Jesus. And if you've never come to Christ, we pray that today, as you've heard the story, the good news, that you will respond and say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are alive, and I receive you into my heart right now. And I guarantee you, this Resurrection Sunday will be the best you'll ever experience.
What good news.
Yes.
Thanks, Bob and Richard. Friends, we're glad that you're with us for this Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. And as we close today's broadcast, we ask you to please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. Your gifts through this ministry mean that others will be able to hear the liberating truth of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ and hear it every day. In appreciation for what he has done for us, consider making a very special Easter gift and help us reach others who need to hear the same good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. You can donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a blessed Easter celebration and inviting you to be with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.